attention this evening to the words we find in verse 9 of that psalm we read, Psalm 71, and at verse 9. Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. There is no connection whatsoever between these words and our meditation tonight and the front page of the Monthly Record of this month. I only saw it yesterday, the way in which it speaks about growing old graciously. And I want tonight for us to think about the problems of old age that this psalmist speaks of and brings to our attention. We have here the time markers which indicate who is writing, what time frame he's in. Yes, we've read there verse 9, but also in verse 18 we have a similar emphasis given. Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Here the psalmist is speaking about the way in which he is being tormented by his enemies. We don't have any kind of historical setting in which we can put it, but we know very well, and he confirms for us what we all know, that to live a Christian life, there is opposition and there are battles to be fought. Paul tells us that to Timothy 3 and 12. Everyone who wants to live a Christian life will suffer, shall suffer persecution. And it doesn't matter how old or how young we might be. That is the normal that is in store for everyone who is on the Lord's side. But with each phase or group of years that we find as we go along life, each phase of life, as it were, has particular troubles and difficulties and dangers. It has its own range of trials and temptations. For example, Paul, speaking to Timothy, would say, flee youthful lusts. Or again, when success is crowning our labors, in middle age perhaps, then we are told of the pride and the danger of pride that comes with success. Or again, in younger years, when there is all of the energy and enthusiasm with these younger years, the danger of youth is self-confidence. Different stages in life have their own different peculiarities, trials, and difficulties. And old age has its own. There is no exemption just because we've grown older and traveled further along the Christian path. In fact, we could almost say that the longer we're on that path, the harder will be the battle and the fight and the opposition that we are engaged in. So therefore, even in old age, the psalmist is here talking about problems that he's facing, having to cope with. So therefore, in a spiritual battle, what does he do? He doesn't gather with his friends. He doesn't tell them what he's going through and ask them for their help. He's been long on the way. He knows what happens and he knows what to do. And he tells us the best way that he's learned, perhaps through the bitterness of practical experience, the best way of dealing with problems now in old age. He tells us in verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. He gets alone with his God. And he spills out and he pours out his problems and his heart. He shuts the door to every kind of distraction. And he rehearses. He rehearses, as it were, his own spiritual testimony of the way in which God has helped him so much in the past. The knowledge that he's gathered and gleaned on the journey of life in the company of the Lord. And taking all that together, he then pours out what he's feeling before God. This kind of solution and kind of experience is so very precious, but so much more effective to the Christian. An openness of speaking with the Lord, speaking with Him as with a close friend. Yes, speaking reverently and respectfully, speaking none too familiar with Him, but nevertheless speaking with the Lord with an open frankness, holding back nothing of what we're feeling, enduring, or experiencing. That is, after all, what we're told in the New Testament when we come to Hebrews 4, that we have access to a throne of grace. And we can meet with the Lord there and tell Him and speak with Him, just the same way as the psalmist here speaks with his God. The problems he's going through then, and I want simply tonight to mention three or four of them that we can glean perhaps out of this psalm and the experience he's going through. First of all, in verse 4, he tells us about his weakness and frailty. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. He's very conscious, but he's not equal, and he's not up to those that are against him. Old age is an experience which waits for many of us. It might creep up. It might make its presence and its effect known just little by little. Perhaps we're unaware of its effect upon us, until all of a sudden we realize that we're no longer what we once were. We can no longer do what we once did. Maturing years are years of growth, perhaps in a spiritual frame, but they are also physical helplessness and weakness being brought vividly to our mind. And one of the best pictures that are given to us of that process of old age or of maturing years, whichever figure we want to use, are the words at the end of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12. There it describes in very picturesque language. If we linger upon it, we will understand it for ourselves. The sun and the light is dimmed. The joy has gone out of life, perhaps, with old age. It is replaced with recurring storms. The keepers, the arms fail. Strong men, the legs aren't what they once were. The grinders, the teeth are few. Eyesight fails. Familiar activities become a distant memory. We are short on sleep, and we rise up early, even at the sound of the songbird. We are afraid of heights and of long journeys. One commentator has described old age as the age of the metallic age. Silver hair, described in Ecclesiastes 12 as the almond tree blossoming. Silver hair. Gold teeth, iron pills, lead shoes. A vivid picture of weakness and frailty. Even the grasshopper, we're told, is a burden. And in that kind of experience of old age, the psalmist knows, and he's speaking and he's telling us, that he perceives himself to be an easy target. People are ready to pick him off. Listen to what verse 10 says. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. What are they saying? God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. He's in old age. God's not interested in him. Let's go for him. And he doesn't have the resource to fight against us. Kind of thing we see in nature round about us, where the enemy goes against and chases the old, the frail, or the weak in any kind of herd that they want to get for food. They pick off and they pick on those who are old, those who are weak. That's what the psalmist knew in old age. So what does he do? Conscious of this weakness and frailty, we are told here time and again, he prays. He prays because he's aware of the danger right at his hand. He wants and he asks to be rescued, he asks to be delivered, because he sees the danger so close and there's an urgency in his praying. And he goes back and, like we said at the very beginning, he rehearses his past dealings with the Lord. He stretches back over many years. He's got so much memory and so many incidents and experiences to draw on. And he brings it all into his mind so they can use it in his prayer. The way the Lord helped him in the past and other situations. And as he draws on his memory, so it strengthens his confidence and his faith in the Lord. In his prayer, he asks that the Lord would be his habitation, his rock, his fortress. He's not wanting to run away and hide. That would be to misunderstand his prayer. He's not wanting to hide away in his old age from any of these battles and fights and things. No. But he's wanting, as he's done it in the past, in all of the years up till now, he's wanting the Lord to be his habitation. He's wanting to know that provision of the Lord's protection about him as he's known it in years gone by. He's wanting to know his life still counting. His life still having an influence for the Lord. See what he says there in verse 7. I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. It's almost as if he's saying so many people knew him. He was a public face. He was a public image. So many people looked at him, saw him. They knew him from early on years that he was trusting in the Lord. This is the kind of reputation that he had. So many people were now watching him. His trust in the Lord was no new thing. It had been the habit of a lifetime. It was a contrast to what the others were around about him were living like. He was praying now that God would still sustain him and keep him as he had done so much in the past. His prayer simply is what we were singing there in Psalm 46, that the Lord God would be his refuge so that he would keep on doing what he has done in the past. Verse 8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thine honor all the day. That's what he'd been doing thus far. Now in old age, he's not going to change. He's not going to be different. He simply wants to continue business as usual, doing what he's always been doing, speaking of and commending the Lord. And he's not wanting to be intimidated by the posturing of those his enemies round about him. So therefore he prays that the Lord would keep him safe, even in the perceived weakness and frailty that he feels in old age. Yes, Psalm 46. So many different places we can go, so many different passages we can quote, examples we can give. The way in which we look to the Lord to underguard us, to underpin us, to uphold us with his arms. Caleb, remember, we saw recently his experience. 40 years he had been waiting for the promise of the Lord. But the Lord kept him safe through these 40 years or so in the wilderness. And in old age, there was a huge generation gap between Joshua, Caleb, and the whole of the other crowd of people that came out of the land. He was obviously an old man. But he came in his old age and he claimed the promise. He was indeed a wonder to them then, as David was in this psalm. Frail and weak, conscious of all his limitations piling in upon him. But he prays that the Lord would strengthen him, keep him, and keep on using him as he had done in the past. We simply remind ourselves of what Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the way in which the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And the challenge that that leaves for us, we can listen to the testimony of the likes of Caleb, the testimony of David and others in the Christian life. But the challenge they pose for us is simply this one. Do we have the compensation which they speak of and knew as a reality in their lives? They knew the inner man being renewed. The question therefore for us is, do we know it ourselves? Because we're all, every one of us, conscious of the outward man perishing. Every one of us knows of the weakness of Ecclesiastes 12. Every one of us knows of the weakness the weight of years brings. Question is, do we have a compensation to more than balance it out? The first thing, therefore, that David brings before us, the weakness of which he was aware. But we move on to another problem, perhaps, that we can associate with old age. Memories. As we go on in life, yes, the stock and stack of memories gets bigger and bigger. David here speaks about, in verse 5, about the way in which he was, thou art my trust from my youth. The same thing is repeated in verse 17. I have declared, Lord, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Both referring to his youth. Perhaps in old age, we are painfully made aware of what we've done and been in our youth. In a sense, perhaps, some of the hardest trials and troubles in old age have their root and foundation away down our years, when we first set out in the Christian path. Concerned for the days of our youth and how we lived and what we did in these days. Go back to Psalm 25 and verse 7 and you find the psalmist praying for this very thing. Concerned for the sins of his youth. How often we can look back and in younger days we commit sin, which, with the reflection of maturity, we shudder to think about. Why would I have done that? Perhaps not close to the Lord as we ought, or as we thought. But these memories, they have an effect upon us. Yes, if we have been like that, think of David with Bathsheba, just to take one incident, a specific example. Yes, he went through all the pain of repentance and being forgiven. But always we've got to remind ourselves that in these kind of experiences where we stray across the line and we sin, we are giving ammunition to the devil to use against us. How much the devil can stir up our memories, bring things back to cause us sorrow and sadness. He does have access. And he will use it. A stick to beat us with. Poison to spoil our old age. Memories. Memories in old age. How comforting therefore it is just to take one or two texts. Isaiah 38 verse 17. Where the Lord says, I've cast your sin behind my back. Cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness. The way in which the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. These are the compensations which the Christian and only the Christian has when memories are stirred in old age. But what else? Perhaps another problem in old age is sheer loneliness. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. One of the major problems in sunset years, we talk about the shut-in ones. With the passing of the years, friends or family, they either move away or they pass on. When retirement comes, it sometimes means moving away, leaving friends. And the concern of the psalmist is that the Lord God would stay with him in these declining years. The way in which the enemies thought, we read it, remind ourselves in verse 12 again. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Don't be far from me. Don't leave me lonely. We talk about cast-offs in young ones' days. Hand-me-downs, cast-offs. Loneliness comes from so many different ways. People move on, family grow up, and we can be left behind. As we feel exposed and as we feel lonely, so we feel that we're open to attack. And sometimes the words come upon us just like they came to David. God has forsaken him. Persecute him. Take him. There's nobody to deliver him. God has passed him by because he's too bad or he's too old. The loneliness of old age. But perhaps we can think more profitably and positively of old age as maybe more time to reflect, more time to spend with the Lord. Because that's what he says here. Verse 14, I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. What is it that the Christian does continually? Well, he uses that word several different places in that psalm. He speaks continually in verse 3 of resorting. I will resort continually to the Lord. Verse 6, he speaks about continually praising the Lord. And now he has in verse 14 this new hope of praising him more and more. Loneliness. Knowing the presence of the Lord with him. Fellowship with God. With time on our hands. Waiting for him. Sometimes, maybe it comes from the two ends of the human spectrum. The young and the old. Always impatient. The old, they can be ready a long time before they're supposed to be. Just waiting for others. And the older we get, the more difficult it is to wait. But here, David is saying that he is waiting in hope. Waiting upon God. Waiting upon his word. Yes, we can complain about so many things. we can complain about so much in old age, but here he is, discovering instead more and more about God. He's aware. That word we find in verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. There are two or three places where to be cast off is mentioned and is a real danger and temptation to the Christian. Isaiah 51 verse 11 says, and here is David speaking about his sin with Bathsheba, and sometimes when we sin grievously and badly like David, sometimes the devil whispers, oh, the Lord will cast you off now. Here is the psalmist in old age, and the same phrase is whispered to him, that the Lord, well, he's past it. I can't do anything with that guy now. Can't do anything with David now. He's past it. He's old age. And the thought comes of being cast off. Or again, in Isaiah chapter 40, 27, where we find ourselves perhaps being relatively insignificant. What am I in the scale of God's activities? What am I in the scale of the nation and of the people? Who am I? Who are we in the scale of what's happening round about us? We're nobodies. And that very temptation comes immediately on the heels of that thought. If we're nobodies, then God will cast us off. The real danger of old age that's highlighted for us here, and the way in which it is countered. Instead, he says, I will praise thee more and more. God does not cast his people off. His commitment to his people is not qualified, and his capacity is not limited. He's not interested just in one spectrum of human experience and existence. It's not just simply one age group that is of interest to God. His people are precious to him constantly and always. And he changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And these are the thoughts that bring strong confidence and assurance to the Christian. Loneliness. Yes, we've moved on. But the Lord has not moved away. We might no longer be at the center of things, but God comes constantly to his people and he says, I've not abandoned you nor forsaken you. If you go to the very end of Psalm 27, there the psalmist is speaking about losing his nearest and dearest. If his father or his mother is lost, that's loneliness. That's loneliness. But the Lord fills that vacuum. There is a painful hole left when somebody is taken from us. We've got to adjust. But how will we cope? What can we possibly have to fill that vacuum? The psalmist keeps telling us that he will know the Lord in a new way, in a deeper, fuller, precious way. Old age brings a problem of weakness, yes, memories, yes, loneliness, yes. But with that loneliness, there comes the opportunity to know the Lord in a fresh and a deeper way. But one further thought before we finish. Yes, another problem with loneliness, another problem with old age, usefulness. What does he say in verse 15? My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Verse 18. Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. With old age, the body is weaker, The days are shorter, but the focus is sharper. We know of time going through our hands and so little of it left by human reckoning. Of course, we don't know how much we do have. But our focus is sharper on the things of eternity. We're not able to do the things we once did. And what we do have to do, we do it slower and easier. We don't attack life as once did, going at it at 110%. But the very fact that we don't go at life like that sometimes can discourage. Our life is almost past. What have we done with it? What have we achieved? And sometimes when we think of usefulness being evaporating away like that, like snow off a dike, we give up almost the will to live. We shrink back in on ourselves. Time comes for others to bear the mantle and the burden and the responsibility and the heat of the day. Our usefulness, yes, has gone in one area. But as we move on, our usefulness can become fresh in another area. Without naming names, perhaps it would not be appropriate to do so, but when we were in Lochgilphead, there was one lady, and she left the congregation, and she went down to England to be amongst a church and a congregation and a people who were very, very young. But they needed the mature spiritual balance that she was able to bring to them. She was getting on in years. She wasn't able to do just as much as she once did on the side and the work of the Lord. But she saw that opportunity of being able to go down and to speak, counsel, mix with people. One door of service closing and another door opening. We may not be able to get on with the work that we once did, no strength in our legs, but we can still open our mouth. We cannot use our arms, but we can use our tongue. We may not be able to move around, but we can still write a letter. We can still speak. How many of us can speak about and we can fill it in, a Christian granny with a big family? In this heyday, that woman was able to go in and out and be doing so much. But with old age, the granny sits in the corner. And instead of her going to them, the whole family come to her. And they gather around her. And she's able to speak with them and share with them all of the things which the Lord has done and the things that they ought to know about. A different sphere and area of usefulness opening up, even in old age. Perhaps I can just summarize it like this. Two directions in which that usefulness can be seen and exercised. First of all, speaking to men of the great things the Lord has done. That's what the psalmist wants to do yet. He says, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. When I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation." Verse 24. "My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long," speaking to others, speaking to people of the great things that the Lord has done. He once went out amongst them, and now he waits for them to come to him, to share their experience, to tell what the Lord has done. But not only speaking to men, also we have that ability to speak to the Lord, to pray for others. Wherever people roam through the world, in all the danger spots of life and of living in the world, we can follow them and focus on them in prayer. We can call down God's protection about them. We can seek God's blessing upon preaching. We can see God's activity in the lives of those strangers to Him. Blessings upon His people. Usefulness in old age. Moses lived for 120 years, but 80 of these years were 80 years of preparation for 40 years of service. Even in old age, that's when his years of service were most effective. The psalmist tells us at the very end of Psalm 92, and in old age when others fail, what will be the experience of the Christian? The Christian will be still flourishing and being fruitful. Growing old then creates problems, makes new demands, but it also brings new opportunities. But to know the Lord then in old age, we've got to start now. The sooner the better. We've got to set down the foundation now for these golden years. What we will be like then, to a great extent, is determined by what we do now. And what is vital and what is important is not that we add years to our life. That's not important. Not that we add years to our life, but what more important is that we add life to our years. That's what was required of us, even in old age. I want to close by, I've quoted it before, but it's a poem or a hymn that was written by a woman called Annie Flint, born in 1866 and died in 1932. She was 66 years old, but for 40 of these 66 years, she suffered from extreme arthritis. And she wrote these words, "He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as the labors increase. To added affliction, He added His mercy. To multiplied trials, He multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the days have gone, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed His provision. Our God ever yearns His resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting, availing. The Father both thee and thy load will upbear. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. And out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again." Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, grant unto us that exercise of memory likewise, so that we might be able to selectively look back down over the experience of our living and gather together the many ways in which Thou hast thought of us and blessed us and favored us. And Lord, may these challenges either confront us or comfort us, where we need to be changed and brought to a faith and trust in Christ, work in Thy grace to accomplish that end. And as we travel upon the road, and as we face troubles and problems, may we be comforted also, Lord, by the memory of what Thou hast done for us in the past. Deal with us, each one of us then, Lord, in Thy grace. Deal with us in Thy mercy. And may we discover as we go on in life more and more and more of the wonder of Thy loving kindness, of Thy mercy, of Thine interest in us, through Jesus Christ, Thy Son. In his name we ask it. Amen. Let us close tonight by singing a portion of that psalm we were thinking on, Psalm 71. And we're singing at verse 15. Thy justice and salvation my mouth abroad shall show, even all the day, for I thereof the number do not know. And I will constantly go on in strength of God the Lord, and thine own righteousness, even thine alone, I will record. For even from my youth, O God, by thee I have been taught, and hitherto I have declared the wonders thou hast wrought. And now, O Lord, leave me not, when I old and grey-headed grow, till to this age thy strength and power to all to come I show. 71, 15 through 18, four stanzas, thy justice and salvation my mouth abroad shall show.